Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll get into the Texans here in just a second. The schedule is dropping out there in dribs and drabs, not just the Texans schedule.
Yeah.
And we'll have the full schedule for you tonight. As it's revealed, the first reveal of the full schedule you'll hear will be right here on Sports Radio 610 with me, with Rich. Wade Smith is going to jump in with us for that hour.
React.
And, yeah, we'll react to it. We'll talk about some of the road trips. Do we like the way the schedule lays out? What are some of the games that we think set up to be the most difficult on paper, made more difficult by the way the schedule makers have put them in a sequence for the Texans?
Yeah.
So, you know, bye weeks, things like that. We do know this. The London game is going to be week 9. Against the Jags, that means the bye week will be week 10 in all likelihood.
November 3rd, November 10th.
Yeah, and the season will open Monday night, week 1 in New Orleans against the Saints. That's awesome. Real quick thing, Rich, with respect to season openers, I would say it's not a reach to say that the Cleveland Browns are the team that most people are intrigued by this offseason, just in terms of the prospects for 2019, what they've done with their team, all the moves they've made.
It's not a reach.
They've made a ton of moves to make... I don't know if this facelift that they've made is going to result in them having the biggest turnaround in a couple of years from a wins standpoint, because quite frankly, right now, I'm not sure what that record is, the biggest turnaround in a 1 or 2 year period.
Yeah.
But from a perception standpoint, from a sexiness standpoint, it's undeniable. This is the biggest turnaround I can see a team having made just from a pure sizzle standpoint. The Browns might wind up being an 8-8 team this year. I don't think people are expecting that. They're favored to win the AFC North. But just purely from a Q rating standpoint, they were the laughingstock of sports 2 years ago. Not of football, of sports.
And that'll happen when you're 0-16.
Well, and 1-31 over a 2 year period.
Yeah.
And in part because the teams in other sports that you would normally categorize as the equivalent of the Browns in those sports, I think basketball sometimes, is probably the Clippers for many, many years. Well, the Clippers are a playoff team that just beat the Warriors the other night. You know, the Browns and the Knicks have been a laughing stock, but they're still the Knicks. You know, they're in New York City.
Well, by name.
I get it. But the Browns have been, let's face it, nobody talks about the city of Cleveland in the same breath as the city of New York. I'm talking about the whole ball of wax. The team stunk.
Right.
The city has a sort of a, you know, a shaky, I don't say reputation, but it's not like Cleveland's the most desirable place to go visit out there.
This is a little reminiscent of our Lubbock, L.A. conversation when we were talking about Texas Tech and UCLA
right.
College basketball.
Right, right. So the Browns all of a sudden, though, Rich, have turned themselves into the most intriguing, sexiest team in the NFL from if I'm an average fan, you know, if I have League Pass or whatever, it's Sunday Ticket, I guess, would be the equivalent in the NFL, and I'm not watching a Texans game, whose game am I flipping over to the most? Heading into the season, at least right now, it's probably Cleveland just because of all the moves they've made. It's going to be a fun offense to watch with Odell Beckham now there with Baker Mayfield. I bring all this up because the Browns are going to be opening the season against the Tennessee Titans in Cleveland, noon kick on September 8th. So the Browns can maybe do the Texans a big solid by knocking off the Titans to start the season. Week 2, reportedly, Rich, there has been a hinting that week 2, it will be the Jets and the Browns on Monday night in week 2, according
Donald
to a report.
Donald versus Mayfield?
And they played on a Thursday night last year, if I remember correctly. That was Baker Mayfield's first action. That was when he took over the starting job from Tyrod Taylor, was in that Jets game, and he led them to that win. But I feel like the Browns, Rich, I think you and I have debated and discussed this before. I think the Browns are going to have at least 4 primetime games this year, maybe 5, because of the level of intrigue with this team.
And the second half of the year, they're getting Kareem Hunt in their backfield.
Yeah, I mean, so they get stronger from a football standpoint for sure. I think at that point they're already intrigue. I mean, that's boy. That and the conversation.
Like they're without talent at running back. You know,
no, they got Nick Chubb and then right. Duke Johnson. I mean, they've
exactly.
got guys at that position, but. I don't know. I feel like when I threw 5 out there earlier this year, you thought it would be fewer than that with the Cleveland Browns. Primetime games.
I did, yes.
Yeah. You still think that?
If the over-under is 5, I'll still take the under.
Okay. I wouldn't go over 5. I don't think you're allowed to go over 5. I think 5 is the max that you can possibly have. I just feel like that's a team where the league is going to max their Q rating out this year. We'll see. We'll find out in 2 hours and 19 minutes. And you can listen tonight here on Sports Radio 610 as we have our schedule reveal show. Me, Rich, Wade Smith, going to be a good time. So tune in at 7 o'clock tonight.
So the Saints and the Patriots games that we know about, those are primetime games.
Patriots, I don't think I mentioned that. The Patriots, week 13, reportedly, December 1st, NRG Stadium, Sunday Night Football.
So that's Sunday night. Saints will be Monday night. They're guaranteed a Thursday night. So the Texans will have a minimum of 3 primetime games. I wonder if there will be more than that.
I would guess that. I'm going to say there's going to be one more. I don't know which one it'll be, but I'm going to say there's going to be one more. Do you agree?
Yes. Okay. I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Well, we'll find out tonight at 7 o'clock. If we hear anything else that's reportable, obviously we'll be reporting that here on Sports Radio 610.
They're not going to play on Thanksgiving. At least we don't think.
Yeah.
You
know what I heard? The Patriots are supposed to play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
That'd be great.
That's the day. You know, Dallas and Detroit always play on Thanksgiving, supposedly.
Right.
I think I heard Landry and John talking about it earlier, that it would be the Patriots. Now, who knows? Hopefully Landry wasn't looking at that NFL schedule leak Twitter account and getting that. So we caveat everything with until 7 o'clock, nothing is official.
Yeah. Primetime historically has not been a great friend to the Texans. They're, I think, 4 games under 500 all time.
Boy,
in primetime. I think the number's 14 and 18.
My reaction is only 4 games under 500?
Yeah, no kidding.
It feels like worse than that.
It's gotten better.
Yeah.
It used to be a lot worse than that.
Yep. All right, so one of the newest Texans is Matt Khalil. He, as of right now, once he's fully healthy and able to get back on the field, would be your starting left tackle. I heard the guys on Mad Radio talking about this morning, Mike and Seth and Paul, and I thought they made a really, really good point when Matt Khalil discussed the Texans' ability to get players healthy. I'll talk about what their point was here in just a second, but first let's hear from Matt Khalil talking about why he chose the Texans. He had other offers out there, I would presume, even though he's not a great left tackle or anything. There's plenty of teams that could use Matt Khalil on their roster, I would guess. But he really liked the Texans' ability to get guys healthy. He's been dealing with injuries the last 3 years.
They've had a lot of great players who have had setbacks, and I feel like they've developed a system, you know, to keep people healthy, and you know, a lot of communication, and a lot goes into keeping these guys healthy and coming up with the right schedules for each individual guy. So just kind of hearing that and everything they do, and really excited me. I felt like it was a place, you know, where if I went anywhere else, I don't think I would have the opportunities I have here as far as being healthy and actually, you know, thriving and feeling good and being the best possible player I could be. So with everything they do in communication, you know, in the training room, in the weight room, and with the coaches, you know, a lot of people talking to each other. So everyone's on the same page, and, you know, feel like put together a good program for me, and I'm really excited.
All right, so that's Khalil on the Texans' ability to get people healthy. One more quick follow-up to that. He went even deeper on that. The sports science group that the Texans have over there that I know, you know, Luke Richardson was part of when he was here.
One and done,
for
right?
The 1 year with the team. Yeah, but he obviously left behind plenty of things the team is still going to be using going forward. Khalil was very, very impressed with that as well.
I'd never been anywhere where they did something like this, and it really excited me, and I feel like it's a place where they're going to keep me healthy and take care of me and, you know, get me out on the field. That's what it's all about, is staying healthy through the season and playing throughout the whole year. At the beginning of my career, the first 4 years, I didn't miss a snap, and, you know, it just injuries started piling up. So, I mean, if I'm healthy and I'm feeling good, I'm out there. I'm not one to take breaks if I'm feeling good or if I need rest. I mean, if I'm healthy, I like to be out there contributing and be out in the field.
It'll be interesting to watch this play out, Rich. We only have 1 year with this, you know, whole sports science thing going on behind the scenes. As you know, it was a huge talking point last year. The cafeteria was as big a talking point as the draft class, it felt like, last year.
And do I have this right? Richardson's gone after 1 year, but his program remains in place, and his guy got bumped up to his job, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the exact staff is over there.
I want to say his assistant may have taken over, so I think there's continuity there.
Okay, well, this for sure, some of the things that Luke Richardson put in place have remain in place going forward, and obviously they used it as a selling point in bringing Khalil here. We talk a lot, I know, on this station, this show, other shows, comparing the three teams in town, the Texans, the Rockets, and the Astros. And And it's in some ways it's tough for the Texans being in the same town with the Astros and the Rockets, because not only are those two really good franchises in terms of the on-field product, look, the Rockets have another chance to win an NBA championship this year, a lot of people feel like. The Astros may be the best team in baseball right now, and they won a World Series 2 years ago. And they've gotten there because general managers like Jeff Luhnow and Daryl Morey seem to be two steps ahead of everybody all the time. They brought this up on Mad Radio, and I thought it was a really interesting point. I wanted to bring it up here, and I'll get your thoughts on it, is that could this sports science thing, could the Texans' ability to keep and get guys healthy, now they need to figure out hamstrings for sure, but
right.
On the more global picture here with a 53 and heading into the preseason, a 90-man roster, the ability to keep guys healthy, keep guys rested. Their top-tier guys all stayed healthy last year, the upper tier of their roster. That was one of the things this team really had going for it. Could this be the Texans' little edge that they get against the rest of the league? Could this be the thing that the Texans use to get that little incremental bump that could keep them a step or two ahead of at least the AFC South?
Listening to Matt Khalil, it sounds like the potential is there.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, only time will tell. But, you know, certainly, like you said, the players and coaches raved about the changes last year. And if that program, if that was just the beginning and that program continues and they keep going in that direction, I would say it has the potential. But, you know, it's going to be in the one loss column that will be able to answer that question.
Yeah, and it will. I mean, ultimately, that's what everybody gets judged by.
Right.
Is the wins and the losses. I do think if we're judging it, we do, you know, you look at health of the team and who's missing games, the type of injuries that they're missing games with. Like, for example, it's almost to, like Will Fuller, let's say. Will Fuller was probably their most prominent player who suffered a big injury last year.
Last year, for sure.
Right, because the Clownies and the Hopkins and the Watsons and the Watts and some of the other guys, they were largely healthy for most of the year. Little dings here and there. Clowney missed a game. But Fuller was probably the most significant injury. But his injury, Rich, I don't know that it was something that could be prevented because of sports science or because of the cafeteria. The guy tore an ACL because he came down the wrong way. You know, he was mugged in the end zone against the Dolphins and came down the wrong way.
My guess is
Watt's ACL would have torn if it had contorted the same way.
Such a gray area. I mean, I've always been really hesitant to assign blame or even credit to strength and conditioning programs when a team is either afflicted with a number of injuries or is able to avoid the injury bug, because you're right. Some of it is just pure, dumb, sometimes good, sometimes bad, luck.
Yeah. I will
so
say
that, unpredictable to try to determine you know, why an injury took place or why you avoided an injury.
I'll say this, though, Richard. The three sports, the one that if you look at and you go, okay, of the three sports, which one can health be some sort of, you know, secret sauce that you can impact, that maybe you can impact? I'm not saying all of a sudden that whoever the new Richeson is over there is sprinkling pixie dust on everybody and everybody's healthier all of a sudden. You know, there's no injuries. There's going to be injuries. It's football. These are gigantic adults that are running into each other at car crash level speeds.
Yeah. His name, by the way, is Mike Eubanks.
Okay.
And he was Luke Richeson's assistant.
So I would assume that most of what was there is being kept in place. That it would stand to reason that the same way maybe spin rate in baseball or three-point shooting, you know, pace, whatever, is the secret sauce, the thing that you know, Daryl Morey, yeah. You know, Daryl Morey made sure he had a team that was either shooting threes or getting buckets in the paint.
Well, we'll know if everybody starts copying the Texans.
Yeah, yeah. And they need to win games, obviously, to explain copying them. But I feel like of the three sports, football is easily the one you can point to and go, hey, look, if we can just do some things internally here that other teams aren't doing and give ourselves a 10 or 20% better chance of keeping guys healthy, then that can be a big deal. That can be something that could swing a game for you,
right?
Which in the NFL, there's only 16 of them. So swinging a game, the Texans swing a game last year. They have a bye in the first round of the postseason.
Yeah. The more we talk about cutting edge thinking and analytics and new ways of looking at these things we've been talking about for a long time, the more I may become convinced that Brian Gain's going to train down and stockpile draft picks. That would be the analytic thing to do.
Some would say it would be the prudent thing to do with as many holes as they have to fill.
I've said it. I think it's the most likely, if a move is made, it's the most likely move to happen, and that is that they trade down from number 23. But all this conversation maybe makes me think it's even more likely.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to find a team that wants to trade up to 23.
Sure.
You know, so that's
absolutely
that's the issue there.
John Lopez had a very interesting point in Loop earlier today. He talked about the hypothetical of a team looking for a quarterback in the 23rd pick of the draft, and he mentioned the Redskins as a team that could make an offer to the Texans for the 23rd pick, with the Texans picking up an extra pick along the way.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a weird draft, Rich, and I'm just going by what I've seen in the mock drafts, and we can maybe talk about this a little more later in the show. We can certainly talk about it with Clint Sterner tomorrow, because he's a former quarterback who I know has takes on all of these quarterbacks. 23 feels like a bit of a dead spot right now, just in all the mocks that you've seen, because there's four big names. We know who they are. It's Murray, it's Haskins, it's Locke, and it's Jones from Duke. And I feel like every mock draft I've seen has all four of them gone by the 17th pick when the Giants use that Browns pick. You see Jones mocked to the Giants a lot of that 17th pick. And then there's really nobody that's making a push to get into the first round. Like a few years ago when it was Teddy Bridgewater, last year when it was Lamar Jackson. And if a team's going to make a trade for a guy and make a leap up, they're probably going to try to do it more towards the back end of the first round, just based purely on salary and things like that. Then at 23, unless they feel like, hey, there's more than one team that's going after Will Greer or, you know, whoever the a late first rounder could be.
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.